Praise the Lord. Isn't Jesus wonderful? All the time. That's the answer. I haven't said that in a while. Some people don't know what the answer is. Isn't Jesus wonderful? There you got it. Now you got it. You know, have you ever been to a place where you know what you're believing for is just about to happen? Well, that's where the Israelites were. They were on the threshold of entering the promised land. And I got a question this morning. Are you ready for God's blessing? Yes. Let's go to Joshua 3. Joshua 3. Start with, and I'm reading from NLT today. I read New King James NLT, and sometimes I'll get another translation and throw it in there, but I sometimes go to the NLT because I like the way it says it. It says it more in our language today. Now, sometimes you have to look, you have to watch out. It may change it too much, but when I look at all of that, that's what I do. Now, you can do what you want to, but that's what I do when I go read the New King James first. Sometimes I go read the Old King James, then the New King James. Then I go to the different translations to try to see which one more speaks to us today. Hello. Remember, the King James, it's an archaic language. And some of the words there have a different meaning than what we have today. So that's why. And then as you study, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I studied enough about it to know that many of the Greek words, when they said them, carried a different connotation, different. It's just the way they used it would change that. Sort of like our word love. I mean, we love cars, we love our wife, we love our kids, but it's the context in which you use that word changes the meaning of it. Am I right or wrong? So somebody was asking me the other day why I go to different translations. So I just thought I'd give you a little explanation. Did that help anybody? Okay. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Achaia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before the crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your position and follow them, since you've never traveled this way before. They will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure that you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do great wonders among you. Now I want you to notice that it said to follow the Ark of the Covenant. Now why were they to follow the Ark of the Covenant? Because that is where the power and the Spirit of God dwelt. Today, the power and the Spirit of God dwells within us. And it says you're to follow that because you haven't been that way before. As we go through life, we follow the leading of God because the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, because we hadn't been that way before. And sometimes it can be scary. Now, all of that, I just throwed that in. That's not even part of my message. I mean, as I was reading it, that started coming to me, and so I decided, I said, well, the Lord wants somebody to have that. Now, I want you to notice, though, particular two important points that were made to the people that were getting ready to go into the promised land. You've never traveled this way before. And secondly, purify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Now, you might wonder why this is important. It is because, you see, this is the next generation of the Israelites. They knew all about their forefathers, their escaped from Egypt. They knew about Moses that was the leader. They knew about the parting of the Red Sea. And they knew how God had given water and manna and even given meat when they needed it. They knew that the people didn't become sick or feeble and the clothes didn't wear out. They knew about God meeting Moses on the mountaintop and speaking with the thunder and the lightning. And they'd heard the stories of how God had fought for them when they were outnumbered, you know, by thousands, and yet they still won. They should have lost. As great as these things were, they were just a foretaste or the appetizer to what was to come. Hello. Look at this. In the wilderness, God performed great miracles. But in the promised land, they're surrounded by his blessings daily. In the wilderness, the people couldn't possess the land. But in the promised land, they can possess all the land that God said belonged to them. Now, as I'm talking about this, I want you to realize that our promised land is our walk with God down here. And we got to possess it. Now, some people want to, you know, they want to make crossing Jordan going to heaven. Well, it couldn't be, because there's no battles to fight in heaven. You don't have to possess anything. You just go up there and enjoy, okay? You know, in the wilderness, they were wandering for 40 years. But in the promised land, they could dwell in the security of their own home. In the wilderness, they just had enough to get by. But in the promised land, they had more than enough. You know, God's miraculous supply that they had been able to enjoy was even better in the promised land. You know, some people may feel like they're in the wilderness right now. You may be experiencing God's provision, but it's in the midst of difficulties and negative circumstances and hardship. You know, they experienced God's blessings, but they were going through some stuff. Come on now. You there? You going home already? You see, you need to be ready to step in to your promised land and experience a level of abundance that you've never experienced before. It's time to get ready to go to a new level in your promised land. He told the Israelites that they hadn't been this way before. They were going to a new level. They were going to a new level of blessing, to a new level of provision, to a new place to live. This was a new day. This was their day. This was their time. This is what they had been waiting for. For 40 years, these kids had wandered in the wilderness because their parents and grandparents refused to go into the promised land. And if you go read that first chapter of Joshua, God, all the way down there at the bottom, at the last verse or two down there, They, the Lord had told Joshua, be strong and courageous and so forth. Well, right down there, you get down there, the people themselves said, listen, you be strong and courageous, Joshua, and if anybody goes against and doesn't want to do what God tells us to do, they were going to take them out. They just going to get rid of them. Because they were tired of wandering in the wilderness because of their grandparents and their moms and their dads that refused to go in. Thank God, it's not up to any of our family members. It's not up to any of our friends. It's not up to any of our church members. It's up to us whether we get into God's promised land or not. It's your choice. Come on now. You know, just as they were been wandering in the wilderness with just barely enough to get along. But there's no, in the promised land, there's no more living on barely get along street. They're going to move up to Plenteous Avenue. And then they can make another move to Extraordinary Avenue. And then they move on up to Glorious Boulevard. You know, we all stand every day. Each of us stands at a pivotal point. We're on the threshold. Are we going to move forward and get more of God's blessings? You know, it's up to you. The Israelites could choose. They could choose to go with God or be satisfied where they are. That's why I said it's up to you every day. You stand at that point every day because you can choose to be satisfied with what you got. But I choose to be satisfied with only the satisfaction of knowing that I can go higher. You know, it doesn't matter. You're still God's people. Whether you choose to go on and enjoy all the benefits that belong to you or not. You know, you may work for a company and there's all kinds of benefits. But it's up to you whether you get those benefits or not. And you might enjoy some of them and say, well, I'm just going to let that go. Come on now. We face the choice. We have the tools to move from average life to the extraordinary life that God desires for us to have. Now, in Numbers 32, it tells us that the Gadites and the Reubenites and half the tribe of Manasseh didn't cross to the promised land. Come on now. They said, hey, we want to live in the wilderness. We want to stay here. They were still God's people, but they chose to stay there. See, we are free moral agents. We can choose how much after you've been born again. That's essential. But after that, you have the choice to how far you go with God. It's up to you. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be satisfied with average. I want to go all the way. You know, speaking in sports, I use sports all the time. When I was playing in high school, we had some guys that were dissatisfied that they made the team. Anybody have any guys on your team like that? Anybody here? Yeah. They just happy they made the team, and oh man, I'm part of the team. I wasn't satisfied sitting on the bench. And I did what was necessary to get in the game. You know, when I was running track, coach let everybody go in. I'd stay out there and I'd run a 5, 6, 7 extra 220s. We ran the yards back then, 220 yards. How many of you went to school when it was yards instead of meters? Have you noticed they've went to meters in track, but the football field is still 100 yards. But you know, I wanted to win. I just wasn't satisfied with being good enough. And that's what it takes if you're going to win in anything. If you're going to get promoted in a job, you can't just be satisfied with being good enough. You got to do extra work. Sometimes I say extra, but okay, you got to do extra stuff. Here, I want you to notice that even though the promised land is there, it's up to us whether we receive any of the benefits or not. You know, we need to wake up and realize that every day is a new day. You know, in the in 2 Corinthians 6:2, you know, it talks about, he says, now is the acceptable time, I've heard you, and now is the day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's New King James. But another translation says, I say, has the day of deliverance dawned? Now, I know this is talking about salvation and so forth, but I want to zero in on that word dawn. Dawn means new beginning. Dawn means the old darkness has faded and the light of the new day has come. So let us rise out of the darkness and enjoy the light of the new day. Let us rise out of the darkness of the hardships and the trials and the tribulations and all the other difficulties that the devil's throwing at you and enter the new day that God has for you. You know, sometimes the enemy comes in and it seems like there is no way out. But it's time to wake up and realize that God has already delivered you. All you've got to do is walk in the liberty of it. He's always ready with a blessing. The question is, are you ready to possess it? Now, Joshua told them, purify yourself. King James Version says, sanctify yourself. This is simply God saying to his, get yourselves ready, prepare yourself. Now, you have to go back and understand the old covenant. Under the old covenant, before they could go in to the temple where the presence of God was, God doesn't dwell in this building. He dwells in you. But when you come in here, you make this the temple of God. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. Hey, you want to be in a scary place at 2:00 in the morning? Be inside this building with the lights out. It's darker than anything in here. I've had to come in here before, and I come through the back there, and I come through those curtains over there, and it's pitch black in here. And I have to inch my way over here to find these steps to try to get back there, because that's where the light control is. Now, he can throw a switch back there and we're going to be in the dark. But the church building, I mean, as a kid, I used to traveling in with Dad. Sometimes the pastor's son and me, we would have to sleep in the church. Maybe it might have 2 or 3 kids, boys. We all, and I'll tell you what, 2:00 in the morning, there's doors slamming, stuff are creaking. I'm serious. I got any preacher's kids that's here that's ever been in the church early, like out in the middle. Keep your hand up if there's all kinds of noises, doors slam and stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Whoa, hey. Okay. See, under the old covenant, they had to go through that cleansing process and prepare themselves by offering certain sacrifices. And also, if you've ever been to Jerusalem and were outside of the temple there, they have these pools. And you bought them. I know some of you been there with, some of you were there with me and Lynette. I know Joe and Amy were there and some other, huh? Yeah, the Yoders were there, and some of the other church, a couple other church members. Remember those pools that they had to walk down in? And you walk in here, and you dip under the water, and then you come out. You don't go back. You come out the other side, because if you go back up that other where you come in, you get contaminated. That's what that was it. But see, they had to prepare themselves. We prepared ourselves already by applying the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to our lives. See, now, when we know that we want to receive the blessing, then we got to take some action. We have to take action to receive. He was telling this new generation, they were at a place that their moms and their dads and their grandmothers and grandfathers were at many years ago. But now you're here. Prepare yourself for to go to the next level. This new generation is saying, he's saying to them, what are you going to do about the blessing? Are you going to decide to go in or not? And I already told you that Gad and Reuben and a half tribe of Manasseh, they decided they wasn't going in. They're going to stay over there. Can you imagine? They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And now the spies have gone in. They have brought back all of these things, the grapes and all, talked about how great the land is, and they still want to stay in the desert. That if you've been over there, that what they're calling wilderness is what we would call desert. You know, when we hear the word wilderness, we think about trees and forest and all that. No, it's desolate. It'd be like, it's like going out there into Death Valley, out there in the desert, out there in California. Come on now. Now, praise God, they got ready. And they went in and possessed. Sometimes, as believers that have been believers for a long time, and the new generation of believer comes along, and they get what I call the elder brother syndrome. They see this person here, the elder brother, in this story of the prodigal son. He was angry because his brother that was living a sinful life had came back and had come back home. And he was angry because his father was celebrating. But the father told him, hey, you're here. It's all here for you all the time. All you had to do, if you wanted a party, if you wanted to throw a party, all you got to do is go do it. You know, I've been in this long time. I was born on a Sunday morning in my dad's church. The next Sunday morning, I've been here all night. I've seen people like that. I mean, you know, they, as my dad was pastor, and then as I was associate pastor with my father-in-law, and then even being pastor here, you see sometimes people that they feel like because they have been in the way, and that's what they are, in the way. In other words, they've been born again for a long time, and some new person comes in and starts believing God and grabbing a hold of the promises and possessing what God said. They get upset about it. Anybody ever been in a congregation and seen that happen? Oh, I got lots of hands going up. Actually, it was there for them all the time. That's what his father told him. Said, it's there. You could have killed the fatted calf anytime you wanted to. You know, when I was growing up, some of y'all are gonna identify with this. I was at grandma, my mom's mom and dad, and we've been early in the morning. You get up, and they live on the farm. You get up. If you're on the farm, you get up early. Because you're out in the field by the time the sun gets up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got some. And so, but there'd be a big breakfast, you know, and after breakfast, Grandma would leave the sausage and biscuits and stuff on the table. You know, and, you know, I'm 5, 6 years old, 7, and I about 10 o'clock, you know, I'm hungry. And I said, Grandma, I'm hungry. She said, son, it's in there on the table. Go in there and get you a biscuit and some sausage. That's what God is reminding us. He's saying, hey, I've already set the table. It's there. You want it? Go get it. Go get you a helping. Whatever you need. Helping a healing. Helping up more than enough. Helping whatever you need. That's all you got to do. Then you got to go possess it. Did you know that I could have went hungry and yet the food was there? All I got to go in there and do is get it. I see people all the time, God's people. They're Christians now, filled with the Spirit. But I see them not having everything that God said belongs to them because they're just not going to the table. You know, hey, when they said it's time to eat, I'm there. But my dad, I was 6'2 and weighed 145 pounds when I graduated from high school. My dad said I had hollow legs. And I know when I was going in Bible college, I would take Nick and Dave with me up to Garland, my hometown. We'd go to my cousin sister's house, and they'd have food, you know, and Nick and I did Dave's memorial a few years ago, and I just was at Nick's memorial this year. Went on, but I want to tell you what, we'd go up there, and they'd say, hey, get it before Hagen gets it, or there won't be none left. Oh, those days are gone forever. God has the table spread. There used to be an old song we used to sing, come and dine, the master caller, come and dine. He's something about a table spread. I don't know. My wife knows all the words, all those songs. I can't think. I know a few of them. That's it. But there's a table spread, come and dine. It's up to us to get the blessing. People coming to the camp meeting, oh, God, bless me, bless me. Hey, you want the blessing? You got to get in there, and you got to begin to participate, sing, worship. No, they want to sit there. Okay, let it'll fall on me. If the Lord wants to bless me, he'll bless me. No, if you want to get a blessing, you're going to have to do something. You just can't sit there. It's not going to fall up on you like ripe cherries off a tree, as my dad used to say all the time. Anybody ever heard him say that? I know this crowd has. See, it's through faith that we receive these things. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We need to prepare ourselves and get ready. Come ready. Come expecting. I did a whole series on expect, and they put it in a book back there. Two or three years back. You know, some people, I'm just going to church. Well, that's good. I'm glad you are. But you need to come through those doors expecting. Expecting something. Man, I come every time I come here to preach, I expect the Lord to anoint me. You need to learn whatever position you're in. If you're a parking lot, if you're children, if you're usher, whatever, you need to come expecting and praying for the anointing to do your job just like the minister does. I know these singers do because I hear them back there in the room. They get ready. See, Joshua told them, get ready. He told them, prepare yourself. See, we need to realize, you know, there's a proper time to go out and to pick fruit. Am I not right? If you pick it too early, it's no good. If you wait too late, it's overripe. Hello? See, you got to look at it and then prepare yourself to go out and to harvest the crop. Let me tell you something. People sitting around in church, oh, okay, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Bless me. You know what? They're going to walk out the door saying the same thing. Because to get a blessing is like understanding that the fruit is there, the table is ready, you got to go in there and you got to possess it. If you're waiting for God to drop it on you, forget it. He has already done everything he's going to do about you receiving every blessing that is in this book right here. It's up to you to do your part and receive what belongs to you. You see, they had to do what God told them to do. And I want you to notice, the Jordan was at flood stage. And he told them, you cross. Now, something interesting that most people don't, they just think about the water standing up. It wasn't, you read it, it wasn't. Now, they're carrying the power of God in the Ark of the Covenant. They're carrying the power of God. But it wasn't until those priests' feet got in the water that anything happened. When they started walking in the water, it was still flowing. But when they hit it in with their feet, the power of God, they're carrying the power of God, something started going on. That's like you are. You're carrying the power of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're carrying the power of God. Hey, instead of standing there and saying, oh, Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. Hey, go to the problem with the word of God coming out of your mouth. See, some people say, well, I'm just going to wait for the Lord. No, God's waiting on you. Get up and get with it. Don't be, you know, those leprous men sitting outside the gate. Finally, one of them said, hey, what are we sitting here till we die for? Waiting for something to happen. They made something happen. You read Smith Wigglesworth's book, he said, if the Lord's not moving, I move the Lord. Anybody ever read that in his book? Some of you have. If you haven't ever read Ever Increasing Faith, you need to read it. How many of you read it? Keep your hand up. If you suggest everybody read that book, wave your hand big time. It is, I know it's an older book, but man, it is full of nuggets. Come on. That's like, hey, it's time for us to believe God and speak the word. You know, in the Old Testament, they had to wait for God to move. But in the New Testament, he's already moved and we're carrying the power of God with us. It's not over there in that ark, in that tabernacle, in the temple, in the wilderness, and then in the temple in Jerusalem, hid behind the curtain. But when Jesus Christ died on that cross and he arose on that third day, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom. And God said, no longer will I tabernacle inside of a building, but my man, my person that I created will be my temple. I will walk with him. I will talk with him. It's up to us. It's not up to God. God is not bringing you along just to live on barely get along street, but he's bringing you along to live in the maximum, superabundant, over the top blessing that belongs to you. God is ready to bless you abundantly, but whether you get it or not is up to you. It's not up to somebody else. It's not up to the prayer group that you got praying for you. It's not up to your pastor. It's not up to your friend. It's not up to your family or your wife or your husband. It's up to you. You control whether you get the blessing or not. Heavenly Father, I talked to these people for a few moments to stir up their minds, to get them to realize that you've already done everything there is to do about them receiving the blessing. Now help us all to stand up and go forward, realizing that you're leading us, you're guiding us, and as we move, then the power of God will move for us, just like it did the children of Israel. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Anybody get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody stand, please.